This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and we'll read verses 32 until 49. Luke chapter 23, 32 to 49. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we are here to remember the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us, we thank you for these words that we can read and reflect on, and these words which show us our own sinfulness, Lord, and in contrast to your great love. And Lord, we thank you for your death and for your sacrifice, and for what you did on the cross for us. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts this morning and speak to our hearts and minds through the pastor and through your word, and help us to understand the significance of what we're celebrating today, and to be grateful and to be willing to surrender our lives to you, to give our lives to you just as you gave your life for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I wasn't a Christian and lived some faraway country, I would think for a moment, please, that celebrating the death of a leader is a little weird. Why would Christians celebrate the suffering of Jesus Christ, their leader? I would feel that they should try to forget that day of agony and suffering. And yet, we are here because we know better. Christians all around the world who use English as the common language refer to the day Jesus was crucified as Good Friday. But why? Many may ask. What was so good about Good Friday? There have been countless books written, sermons preached, songs and hymns sang, plays and films about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross have been made. And yet, There is so much misunderstanding and confusion about the death of Jesus Christ. This morning, I would like us to listen to some of the things that were said around and on the three crosses on that day. But before we get to the cross, let's take a look at the preceding events, the Passover, the Lord's table and betrayal. Now, the only one that knew in that company of people that he was preparing himself to die on a cross was Jesus. Yes, Jesus had said many times that I have come to give you life, that unless you drink from this cup, and that I have to die. And yet people did not take him seriously. But he knew that was the Lord's table that we are celebrating this morning. Then the mock trial. I call it the kangaroo court, where they already had decided to kill him. They were plotting to kill him, and they brought him before a judge who already had decided to kill him. Then we look at him before the Pilate. Pilate hands Jesus over to be crucified. Now Pilate didn't want him to die. Pilate was a Roman governor or worked for the government of Rome, and he could have freed him. And yet he wanted to be politically correct, or at least to have a good relationship with the rest of the people. Then we see the crucifixion. Jesus and two other men were crucified on the hill called Golgotha. But now let's listen to some of the things said around and on the three crosses. The dialogue was bitter. The words were wounding. From those who had gathered to watch came bitter words. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God, some said. From the religious leaders came the sarcastic words. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. From the soldiers came the challenging words, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Bitter words, acidic with sarcasm, hateful, irreverent. Wasn't it enough that he was being crucified? Wasn't it enough that he was being shamed as a criminal? Were the nails not long enough and rusty enough to hurt him? Was the crown of thorns too soft? Had the flogging been too short and the stripes not deep enough? Yes, for some, it was very obvious that they hadn't hurt him enough. For some of them, it seems it was so. They didn't just yell or speak or even scream. They hurled verbal stones. They wanted to hurt and bruise him, as if they were saying, we have broken his spirit, his body. Now let's break his spirit. And they, feeling so self-righteous, shot Jesus with their arrows of pure poison. Of all the sins around the cross, this is the cruelest. Why would they mock a dying man? Why would they be so cruel and pour salt of scorn on an open wound? Why would they joke with a man who is full of pain? You can be sure that Satan and his demons inspired them for such meanness. And then one of the criminals on the cross next to Jesus throws his punch. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us," he says. The words thrown at Jesus that day were meant to wound. And there is nothing more painful than words that mean or meant to hurt. No wonder why James calls the tongue a fire. It burns like a blowtorch. But I'm not telling you anything new this morning. No doubt you have had your share of words that wound you. You have felt the pain, I'm sure, the sting of a well-aimed verbal attack. Maybe you are still feeling it. Someone you love or respect slams you to the floor with slur or slip of the tongue. And there you lie, wounded and bleeding. Maybe the words were not intended to hurt, or maybe not. But that doesn't matter. The wound is deep. The injuries are internal. Broken heart, wounded pride, bruised feelings. And not only from my own experience, but I've heard many people's testimonies. I've heard people who come to me or call me with their testimony. And they are suffering today, they say, even though that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 50 years ago. Those wounds are still hurting. And here you had Jesus who had come to save the world. Here you have Jesus who only did good for mankind. Here you have Jesus who fed the hungry. Here you have Jesus who healed the sick. Here you have Jesus who hugged the children and gave them hope and tenderness. Here you have Jesus who looked at the prostitute and all he saw was a precious life. And here you have Jesus who saw the demoniac or demon-possessed person chained, and he had compassion. And here you had Jesus on the cross still loving and praying for those who crucified him. And yet, the human heart, being what it is, was full of hatred and full of poison and wanted to hurt him. Maybe your wound is old. Though the arrow was removed long time ago from your heart, but the arrowhead is still lodged, hidden under your skin. The old pain flares from time to time, causing you much pain, reminding you of harsh words yet unforgiven. If you are suffering or have suffered because of someone else's words, look to Jesus and learn from him. In 1 Peter 2, verse 23, we read, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Do you see what Jesus did not do? He did not retaliate. He did not bite back. He did not say, "I will get you," or "just wait until my resurrection." No, these statements were not found on the lips of Christ. But what was found on his lips, to the astonishment of all those who heard him, was the following short prayer: "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I believe that is one of the hardest things to understand and accept and then try to put into practice. On Tuesday we were speaking about love. What is real godly love? What is to love your neighbor who is very noisy? What is love? What kind of love is this that makes you love your husband or your wife even when he or she is hurting you daily? What kind of love is this to love your children who have rejected you? What kind of love is this when children pray for their parents and even though they are abused, they are being abused? What kind of love is this when we are asked to pray for our enemies? Well, that kind of love comes from the cross. We have learned it from Jesus, who when he was hurt, crucified, put to death, he was praying for his enemies. Now that kind of love is not natural. God is asking us to love with an unnatural love because the human heart is full of poison. The human heart only loves what he can get. The human heart loves only what he can enjoy or she can enjoy. The human heart is very conditional. And the human love is very conditional. And yet, when God takes that heart, when God takes that soul and the person and transforms it, that heart now has the ability to love as Christ loved. Yes, the dialogue that morning was bitter. The verbal stones were meant to sting. But how could Jesus, with a body wrecked with pain, eyes blinded by his own blood, and lungs yearning for air, could speak on behalf of some heartless thugs is beyond anyone's understanding. Never, never has anyone seen love like this. If there was any person at all who had the right to revenge his enemies, Jesus was that one. But he did not do it. Instead, he died for them, for us, for you, for me. How could he do it? Well, I don't have the right words. I can't adequately explain this kind of supernatural love. But I know he did. And the proof is the cross. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whosoever believes in him, not to perish, shall not perish, but have eternal life." This is the kind of love the cross represents. Jesus is not on the cross, obviously, anymore. He's alive. He is right now here. And he sees our hearts. And he sees our thoughts. And all he wants to do is give us that kind of love that we can love our enemies. I also know that all of a sudden, my wounds seem very painless. My grudges and hard feelings suddenly seem so childish. Why? Because when I heard his prayer on the cross, praying for his enemies, when I heard his prayer on the cross, praying for his enemies, and looked at his body which was being broken, bruised, all of a sudden, the pain that others caused me don't matter any longer. I also know that he is able to help each one of us to be like him. If there is any reason at all why this specific Friday should be called Good Friday, this must be it. His amazing love. Let us pray.
Your amazing love, Lord Jesus, has touched millions of hearts, has changed millions of people's lives. Your amazing love on the cross is what makes each one of us rejoice. Knowing that your love on the cross has made it possible for each one of us not only to have eternal life, which is the ultimate goal of every human being, but also to know that we can live a life here on this earth with that joy and understanding that we have been forgiven. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your one and only Son to die on the cross for our salvation. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and help us humble ourselves before that cross of love and allow Him to heal our wounds and give us a new beginning, a new start, and help us in our journey of life. In your blessed name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.